The rebelliousness of the town made the military men think that the execution of Colonel Aureliano Buendía might have serious political consequences, not only in Macondo, but throughout the area of the swamp, so they consulted the authorities in the capital of the province. On Saturday night, while they were waiting for an answer, Captain Roque Carnicero went with some other officers to Catarino's place. Only one woman, practically threatened, dared take him to her room. "They don't want to go to bed with a man they know is going to die," she confessed to him. "No one knows how it will come, but everybody's going around saying that the officer who shoots Colonel Aureliano Buendía and all the soldiers in the squad, one by one, will be murdered, with no escape, sooner or later, even if they hide at the ends of the earth." Captain Roque Carnicero mentioned it to the other officers, and they told their superiors. On Sunday, although no one had revealed it openly, although no action on the part of the military had disturbed the tense calm of those days, the whole town knew that the officers were ready to use any manner of pretext to avoid responsibility for the execution. The official order arrived in the Monday mail. The execution was to be carried out within 24 hours. That night the officers put 7 slips of paper into a cap, and Captain Roque Carnicero's unpeaceful fate was foreseen by his name on the prize slip. "Bad luck doesn't have any chinks in it," he said with deep bitterness. "I was born a son of a bitch, and I'm going to die a son of a bitch." At 5 in the morning, he chose the squad by lot, formed it in the courtyard, and woke up the condemned man with a premonitory phrase. "Let's go, Buendía," he told him. "Our time has come." "So that's what it was," the colonel replied. "I was dreaming that my sores had burst." Rebecca Buendía got up at 3 in the morning when she learned that Aureliano would be shot. She stayed in the bedroom in the dark, watching the cemetery wall through the half-opened window as the bed on which she sat shook with José Arcadio snoring. She had waited all week with the same hidden persistence with which, during different times, she had waited for Pietro Crespi's letters. "They won't shoot him here," José Arcadio told her. "They'll shoot him at midnight in the barracks so that no one will know who made up the squad, and they'll bury him right there." Rebecca kept on waiting. "They're stupid enough to shoot him here," she said. She was so certain that she had foreseen the way she would open the door to wave goodbye. "They won't bring him through the streets," José Arcadio insisted, "with 6 scared soldiers and knowing that the people are ready for anything." Indifferent to her husband's logic, Rebecca stayed by the window. "You'll see that they're just stupid enough," she said. On Tuesday, at 5 in the morning, José Arcadio had drunk his coffee and let the dogs out when Rebecca closed the window and held on to the head of the bed so as not to fall down. "There, they're bringing him," she sighed. "He's so handsome." José Arcadio looked out the window and saw him, tremulous in the light of dawn. He already had his back to the wall, and his hands were on his hips because the burning knots in his armpits would not let him lower them. "A person fucks himself up so much," Colonel Aureliano Buendía said. "Fucks himself up so much just so that 6 weak fairies can kill him, and he can't do anything about it." He repeated it with so much rage that it almost seemed to be fervor, and Captain Roque Carnicero was touched because he thought he was praying. When the squad took aim, the rage had materialized into a viscous and bitter substance that put his tongue to sleep and made him close his eyes. Then the aluminum glow of dawn disappeared, and he saw himself again in short pants, wearing a tie around his neck, and he saw his father leading him into the tent on a splendid afternoon, and he saw the ice. When he heard the shout, he thought that it was the final command to the squad. He opened his eyes with a shudder of curiosity, expecting to meet the incandescent trajectory of the bullets, but he only saw Captain Roque Carnicero with his arms in the air and José Arcadio crossing the street with his fearsome shotgun ready to go off. "Don't shoot," the captain said to José Arcadio. You were sent by divine providence. Another war began right there.